This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United are brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax, proud partner of your Atlanta United and your local Ford dealer.
The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
9-point week for Atlanta United. And three wins on the week with three clean sheets. Four wins in a row for Atlanta United, all by virtue of clean sheet. Five wins in the last six matches for Atlanta United. Those five wins by clean sheet. I still think the best they played in that six-match stretch was the match they lost against Dallas, but we can have that debate. Regardless, Atlanta United remains the hottest team in MLS with a 1-0 win this afternoon over Orlando City, moving their all-time record against the Lions to 5-0-2. But Orlando City made them work for it today, and they were playing with an arm tied behind their back. They did not have Nani today, no question, no Roussel. Atlanta United looked fatigued in the second half, playing their third match in 8 days, but they were able to see it out with some grinding defensive work. Guys like Miles Robinson, Leandro Gonzalez-Pires, Franco Escobar, Michael Parkhurst up to the challenge again.
Yeah, really surprised Orlando didn't completely sell out and go for this, because it was obvious Atlanta was fatigued as that half went on, and you missed that quality of Nani. You miss that quality of Roussel controlling things from the middle of the field. It's a very strange situation when Orlando was the one talking about fatigue and talking about, you know, trying to manage minutes coming into this, when they had a full week and Atlanta came in on short rest. And Atlanta's been on short rest consistently. They're going to be on short rest all of next week as well. Vancouver played on Friday. Atlanta just finished. They go to Wednesday and they play. Then the Red Bulls don't play this week, and Atlanta goes to Red Bull. There's two Atlanta matches since the last time Red Bull played, just like there were two Atlanta matches before the last time Orlando played. That's very difficult to deal with, but coming into it, we talked about how important it was to start hot. They got 9 points out of this. We didn't know if they could pull 9 points out of these three games. They did. Anything you get next week is gravy.
Yes, I agree. I mean, you have two road matches. Vancouver coming off a win over Portland on Friday night, so they're starting to snap out of it now. And Red Bulls, very, very good form lately for them, getting a 3-1 win at Dallas yesterday. Kaku will be making his return in that match.
He played against Dallas. Yeah.
Did he come on as a sub or
he started?
He started. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then Kaku will make his home return.
Yeah, he'll be back. Red Bull, I don't know if I'd say that they're in good form completely. They looked good against Dallas. Dallas was maybe the better team and a little unlucky at times, but Red Bull needed that win to build some confidence back.
Let me rephrase then. They're playing better. But it was a very low score.
Yeah.
They were really, really struggling at
That's
one point.
That's a good way to put it.
In fact, there was chatter about would Chris Armas even be able to keep his job, and it looks like they have snapped out of it now.
Yeah, I would think so.
Regardless, this match tonight, you know, Brad Guzan had a clean sheet on Wednesday against Toronto without having to make a single save. He had gone 130 minutes without having to make a save, and then he had to make three big ones in this match today. So he is our man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. So all of a sudden now, Brad Guzan has five clean sheets on the season and four in a row. He hasn't had to do a lot in some of them. Today, he had to do a lot.
So Brad Guzan debuted in July of 2017 against Orlando. He had a clean sheet in that one. He has a clean sheet today. He has 11 clean sheets. Only three teams have more in that span of time. there's always questions, and it seems like Brad Gazan is always left out of the conversation about top goalkeepers in Major League Soccer. I mean, you cannot deny it. He is a veteran, steady presence, and he's the perfect goalkeeper for this group.
And if you're Greg Berhalter, look, again, league play not the only determinant as to whether or not you got called up to Gold Cup. Why would you not want a veteran of Brad's experience level, who's in good form right now, at least on the team when you play in the Gold Cup next month?
If Brad's not going to go and be the main number one, and I think that would be Zach Steffen unless there's an injury, I don't know if it's good for him to go. I think getting that extra break would be good, and potentially maybe even being part of U.S. Open Cup squads for Atlanta United.
Good point. Very good point. That's something we'll deal with down the road. But Brad Guzan is our man of the match today, brought to you by Heineken. Final numbers, Atlanta United 13 shots, Orlando had 10. 5 shots on goal for Atlanta United, 4-4 Orlando. This is a stat that a lot of people dwell on. Atlanta United had 8 shots from inside the box, as did Orlando. 10 corners for Atlanta United. You know how many Orlando had? 0 corners. Orlando also committed 11 fouls to Atlanta United's 5. 62-38 the possession in favor of Atlanta United. Atlanta United scored with 10 created chances. They won 54% of the duels. Orlando ground them down in the second half. One play I want to revisit as we wait for Frank DeBoer, and hopefully we'll get to that before we go to break. Right before stoppage time, Julian Gressel got stepped on, and the ball was in Atlanta United's defensive third. Jose Coleman opted to play the ball out rather than play on. And I will say again, as I said during the game broadcast, he was not obligated to do that. But he did, and I'm a little surprised he did. I tip my cap to him. But had that been in reverse, and Atlanta United would have played on, I would have seen no problem with it.
Yeah, he could have kept playing for sure. Some of his teammates didn't look too happy about his decision. Credit to Rubio Vasquez as well. He added that time back on. There was a little bit of extra stoppage time because of that whole situation.
All right, when we come back, we hope to hear from Frank DeBoer. We hope to have an interview from the dressing room as well as Atlanta United defeats Orlando City again, 1-0. Highlights coming up after this on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's going to be peace in the spot. It's big. Oh, I just can't wait to be king. Oh, I just can't wait to be king. Oh, I just can't wait to be king.
Well, becoming a familiar anthem following Atlanta United-Orlando City matches as Atlanta United does it again. 1-0 winners over the Lions from Orlando this afternoon. They are now 5-0-2 all-time against Orlando City. This one, I mean, this is my second year doing this. Obviously, Atlanta United pulled some draws late against Orlando in year one that were dramatic. But taking the 4 meetings I've done between Atlanta and Orlando, this one felt the toughest.
Easily.
It really felt the toughest. Orlando played well last year in August against Atlanta United, considering the circumstance that they were in, really languishing at that point. They got the equalizer from Scott Sutter, and then Joseph Martinez had to get the goal late. And then Brad made a big, big save, maybe the save of the year to keep the 3 points. But this one felt tougher to me today, and a lot of it might have to do with the fact that Atlanta United was playing the 3rd time since Sunday, where Atlanta was playing the 1st time since Sunday. Fatigue is a factor, and that's going to lead us into a discussion a little later on what Frank has to do with the club now and if he rotates going into Vancouver. Should we do some highlights?
Let's do some highlights.
Frank DeBoer, we are told, is not going to address the media today. Okay, so we will not have that for you. That is interesting. I will try to find out why. That is unusual.
Could be some tight timelines with everything going on.
It could be. Atlanta United does have to fly to Vancouver tomorrow. So really, the video work starts right away. The regen work will start pretty much right away, so that might have something to do with it. I do not know if we're going to have an interview from the dressing room or not. I hope that we do. If not, I'm sure you will understand there are bigger priorities right now for Atlanta United. Nonetheless, let's do some highlights. And the goal for Atlanta United came quickly today in the 14th minute. And Pitty Martinez, who has been digging and grinding and working so hard and coming so close on so many chances, finally breaks through today. This is the hot play of the match presented by Scana. LGP pops it down the middle, and it's going to fall to Tito Villalba, streaking down the left wing, dribbling in on Janssen. Into the box, Tito to Pitti. Shot! Score! And there it is in his ninth league appearance of the season. Pitti Martinez opens his goal-scoring account in the 14th minute. I think a lot of people need to remember that Pitti Martinez is not here to score goals. He's here to create chances. So a lot of people have been dwelling on the fact that he has not scored a goal this year. That's not what he's here for, but it is nice to get a reward, isn't it?
He's here to play. And if that means to get a goal like this one, yes. If that means to create chances for others, yes. If it means to connect teammates, yes. He's here to play. The goals will come for him if he is playing well and he's connecting with his teammates in all facets. Look, the guy made an absolute living lighting things up against Boca Juniors. He has to be the Boca fans' most hated player for River Plate, and that's why River Plate fans love him so much. He comes here, first rivalry match with Orlando. He gets his first goal for Atlanta. Kind of perfect.
Pitti Martinez, que loco que está, right? That's the chant that the River fans... Hey, look, I mean, Pitti is the South American Player of the Year. He was good enough for the River Plate fans to create a chant for him, which I still believe the Atlanta United fans might want to adopt. You might want to edit one of the verses about Boca Juniors.
Well, you changed the Boca section to Orlando,
well,
and you're good now.
You might want to make that verse a little more family-friendly.
Well, if you know much about Boca, there's a very specific reason why that reference is there. Orlando doesn't have that reason.
No. Well, and you can Google it if you would like to find out.
Yes.
That's as far as we're going to go here.
True.
Okay, so Atlanta United with the 1-0 lead, 14 minutes into it. Then Brad Guzan had to make a series of saves to see out the first half. Here's the first one on Dom Dwyer. Mendez exchanging with Janssen. Now it's bounced over to Dejan on the right wing. Dejan sending it into the box. Here's a race to the ball. A tough angle shot. What a save by Guzan off Dwyer. Cleared by Escobar for a throw. What a save by Brad Guzan. Well, sloppiness in the final third for Atlanta United created the opportunity, but Brad was up for it. Then a few minutes later, Will Johnson got a shot from distance that looked maybe a little bit more dangerous than it actually was, but Brad came up with the save again. Dejan now stumbles over the ball, dribbles to the end line, crosses, Will Johnson, bouncer, diving save, Guzan again! Guzan had a zero save clean sheet on Wednesday night. He is earning the clean sheet here in the first half today. Then in the second half, after a Julian Gressel goal was negated by VAR spotting Tito Villalba in an offside position, Goose had to make a third big save to protect the 3 points for Atlanta United. Nagby turns it over. Excuse me. Here's Coman, edge of the 18. In it goes now to Tesho. Shot diving save by Guzan. Sloppy again for Atlanta United. And Atlanta United was able to hold on and see out the match for a 1-0 win. Let's revisit the disallowed goal for Julian Gressel. And I will admit that even I made the mistake of going down the wormhole when it comes to offside. I don't know if we've seen a conclusive replay to prove that Tito Villalba was offside. And remember, the flag stayed down as the play occurred. But as you pointed out, the clear and obvious threshold is a little bit different when it comes to wiping out a goal on offside.
Yeah, every goal is checked. And the mechanism right now, and if you want to learn a little bit more about how this works, Pro is doing some great work in trying to explain this better, and they're putting out a review recap every week on YouTube and on their website. And they will give you behind the scenes from the control room, the angles being looked at, the conversation between the AVAR, the VAR, the center referee, even sometimes the center referee and the ARs. In this case, we did not see a flag go up. I'm assuming that the AR was told to keep it down as the play developed. Then every goal is checked. Doesn't matter what the situation was, every goal is checked for anything happening in that attacking phase of play. So you come all the way back to the play that Pitti plays Tito in. The angles we saw, he's right on the line. I thought he timed it just right. the last stopped angle that we saw was after Pitti had delivered the ball, and Tito was one step off. We didn't get a chance to see it before Pitti delivered the ball or right as he was delivering it. So that's what we're trying to figure out. But the way it was handled was by the book in how you should handle it. Doesn't mean it was correct, and we haven't seen that replay yet, and Pro will talk about it this week, but the way it was handled was correct.
There was a larger discussion that came out of one of the matches yesterday about AR's keeping the flag down until after the ball goes into the net. That led to a comment from Taylor Twellman on Twitter. We have seen that come up a couple times this week, as a matter of fact, with the way that ARs are raising the flag on offside. Didn't really come into play today, but look, it's the toughest call in soccer.
In a goal-scoring opportunity, they're going to keep it down because they don't want to blow the play dead.
All right, let's go down to the Atlanta United dressing room. Justin Merrim got on the pitch in stoppage time today, the newest member of Atlanta United coming over this week from Columbus Crew. Justin, I have to tell you, we're very happy to have you on the team. If you would have scored a goal today against Orlando, you would have become an instant club legend, but we'll take your performance nonetheless. It was a good day for you today.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me on here today, but for me, just getting out there, putting on this jersey and representing this club is a special moment today for me.
When you were told you're going to Atlanta, what was your reaction?
Well, it's always difficult to be traded, leaving, Columbus behind, a place where I spent many years. But when you hear that it's Atlanta, you kind of get goosebumps a little bit to see how this club has came into MLS in 2017 and has become one of the biggest and best clubs in Major League Soccer. So when you hear it's Atlanta, it's something to dream for.
Once you got the initial word and you were able to kind of process it a bit, was it a big source of relief that Michael Parkhurst was here, a former teammate and former captain and now captain of Atlanta United?
Absolutely. When you know somebody, especially someone who's so influential in the group like Parkhurst is, it helps you in so many different aspects, not only on the field, in the locker room, but off the field, places where to live, all sorts of things of just making you familiar with the area, and that helps more than you guys probably know.
What's the transition like for you to go from one club to another in the span of a day? You were not dressed out on Wednesday. We thought there was a chance you might, but is there a learning curve for someone who plays your position to go from one club to another in such a short span of time?
I think for anybody, whenever you get traded mid-season, you're going to have to adapt quickly and almost do more in that short amount of time to kind of get on the same level as guys, whether it's fitness, more film, staying after to do more finishing. So, these are all things that I'm doing on a daily basis to try and, get up to speed with the guys since they've been together for preseason and, a third of the season already.
Now that you've had a couple of matches to be here for and maybe a couple of training sessions to get out with these guys, the style of play, how different is it for you?
Not that different, to be honest. Wingers are tucked in or stay wide, combining. You see how fantastic we play as a group. We keep the ball very well. In an instant, we transition with high tempo, and that's something that I've been playing with for many years under the Berhalter era in Columbus.
This felt like a really tough grinding match, especially in the second half as the legs started to get heavy. From your perspective as someone who got in at the very end, how did you see the match play out today?
Yeah, I thought we were in control, honestly, for most of the match. I think the last 15, 20 minutes, they started to get a little bit of momentum. And, for us, we need to just kill off the game, get the second goal, and then we can, kind of just play through them for the remainder of the game. But I thought overall it was a great match for the guys, and I just like to see us put a second one away. And unfortunately, Villalba Tito was offsides by a hair, and unfortunate for Gressel to not get it on the score sheet again.
I have a feeling he'll get a few more chances as the season goes on. Justin, we'll see you in Vancouver tomorrow. Looking forward to traveling with you.
Take care, fellas. Thanks for having me.
All right, Justin Merrim, newly acquired Atlanta United. Attacking midfielder who we think is going to have an opportunity to start maybe as soon as Wednesday night. Quickly, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
MLS in Atlanta.
And we are your official station for all things Atlanta United.
WZGC Atlanta, WZGC HD1.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We will get into the question, what's that lineup going to look like on Wednesday, and how much does Frank DeBoer want to rotate this club? There is very little doubt that fatigue was a big factor in the second half today. That was a factor that made this 1-0 win all the more rewarding over Orlando City. One final call now for your questions and comments on Twitter, at MikeConti929, and at Longshue, as the full-time report continues right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In the jungle, the quiet jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight.
Well, once again, the lion falls tonight in Atlanta. The Lions of Orlando City have never won here in this city. They have never beaten Atlanta United at all. 0-5-2 all time now against the Stripes after a 1-0 loss this afternoon. I am not familiar with this version.
R.E.M.
The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Really?
Yes. Luckily, that's a song that's been covered by a lot of people, so we can rotate it around. But R.E.M. covered that in the mid-90s because they did a song on Automatic for the People called The Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight.
Okay.
That was close enough. So part of the deal on the crediting was that they would cover The Lion Sleeps Tonight, and it was a B-side.
Okay. This song was not original to The Lion King, correct?
No, like no, this is an old song.
Oldie,
yeah,
right?
Very
like
old song. The Tokens did it originally.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Tokens. So surprised I didn't remember that.
Well, this is the thing. We've had so many wins over Orlando.
We're running out of songs.
We're running out of songs, and we're having to use themes here at this point. We try not to repeat ourselves when we play songs in the full-time report, and we did it today. I don't think we had played Good to Be King.
We certainly
did
not.
And we had never played this version of The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Yeah, it's been a lot of O-Town and
played
we did
O-Town.
Florida Georgia Line at one point against these guys.
Probably. Like, we played Backstreet Boys. We played NSYNC.
Obviously, we've done Peach. They beat Orlando twice in Peach last year. Yeah, I mean, I guess fortunately we only play Orlando twice this year, so we don't have to worry about three shows worth of music.
That's fine. I would love to have that challenge.
Yeah, no, we all would. And look, again, I mean, we're not trying to troll too much. What I said earlier, I really mean, in my 2 years doing this, this was the most competitive, the closest, the most exciting, in my opinion, Atlanta United-Orlando City match. Nani really helps them, and Nani was not here today. Kleshton was not here today. Roussel was not here for them today. So when we go back down to Orlando in August, Atlanta United will be taking nothing for granted against them because I don't think we've heard the last from Orlando City this year. All right, let's get to your questions now on Twitter, and thank you, as always, for your feedback. And we're going to take a pretty deep dig here into a question first posed to us by Trains. Trains points out that the players look gassed. Surely you have to rotate heavily were Whitecaps on Wednesday. So which players could use the rest? Now, you and I here during the break with assistance from John Nelson have drawn up a possible lineup for Wednesday night. And I think there are a couple different things in play here, Jason. I mean, obviously, you had fatigue. Mm-hmm. You have two road matches coming up, Wednesday in Vancouver, Sunday in New York. It feels like you need to rotate. However, could Frank DeBoer be looking at Wednesday as the more realistic opportunity to earn 3 points as opposed to at Red Bull Arena on Sunday? That's a rhetorical question. We don't know.
I definitely think he could. So, I mean, it is.
So how do we see this here as a potential squad rotation for Wednesday? And I want to point out, we are not told anything about a lineup until we get to the stadium. So this is based on no inside knowledge whatsoever. It's just Jason and I hypothesizing.
Yeah, I made it clear from day one. Like, I don't want to know.
No.
I don't want to know
this
stuff.
I'm too superstitious.
Yes.
I want a change of routine here.
Yes, the speculation is fun. So, you know, you keep Brad Gazan in goal unless he asks for the night off. If he doesn't, he's in goal. Breck Shea back for Michael Parker makes total sense. Those two are rotating on the left side right now. Mikey Ambrose is playing for Atlanta United 2 tonight. He made the trip to Bethlehem to face Bethlehem Steel, so you would expect he's in the team tonight. Don't think he'll be ready for Wednesday, but maybe for the trip to Red Bull Arena. That's possible. center back, you would love to keep continuity, and it's just going to depend on if Miles Robinson and Leandro Gonzalez-Pires can turn around and go again on Wednesday. If they can, they play. If not, Florentin Pogba has been getting minutes with Atlanta United too. We've seen him for a very short period with the first team. I think you would be looking at him for maybe one of them if you have to. John Gallagher has been part of 18s a lot lately. Franco Escobar has played a lot of minutes since coming back. Maybe it's time to give him a break. Gallagher at right back would make a lot of sense here. Midfield, again, you'd like to keep continuity. I'd love to see Jeff Larenowitz and Darlington Nagbe together because of what Nagbe gives you, but Nagbe looked very tired. That's going to be an individual decision on him. Eric Rometty also looked very tired. You'd like to give him the night off. Andrew Carlton, Justin Merrim, Dion Pereira are all three possibilities across the attacking midfield. If Pity Martinez is feeling good, you want to play him. If Tito Villalba, Julian Gressel are feeling good, you'd like to play him. I don't think they're going to be ready to go again on Wednesday. I think both really gave you a lot of hard work today. Didn't get the goal at the end to show for it from Gressel, but they both put in a very hard, you know, working shift here. Joseph Martinez, I think, is okay to start again on Wednesday.
Yeah.
He's looked fine.
That would then leave you a bench where you could still have Parkhurst, you could still have Tito, you could still have Rometty. Romario Williams played last week for ATL UTD 2. I don't think he's in Bethlehem.
No.
I don't know that. Ambrose...
No, he was on the bench today.
Okay. Right. Thank you. You could still bring LGP. I think you're even looking at a situation ideally. And again, we don't know anything. And when we expected Frank DeBoer to rotate back in March when you were going through CONCACAF and all that, he didn't rotate at all. So we're making big assumptions here as to whether or not he'll even do it. But you might even have the luxury of being able to keep a couple people home entirely, not even get on the charter tomorrow and go to Vancouver.
Possibly. That would be ideal for some guys. Yeah, absolutely, because you are coming back. You're not thinking about this as a total trip. So you have the opportunity to leave some guys home and then come back and pick them up before you go to Red Bull Arena.
All right. Hopefully that answered your question, Trains, and hopefully that makes some sense. You have the ATL UTD 2 lineup for tonight?
Mikey Ambrose is in the starting lineup for Atlanta United 2 tonight. We'll see how long he goes. Your other first-team players in that team, Jose Hernandez and Anderson Aseyedu, that are in the team tonight, starting on the bench. You do not have any other first. No, you have Patrick Okonkwo, another first-team player who could potentially be part of that.
There is a little bit of a logistical challenge to this as well. Atlanta United is going to Vancouver tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
ATL UTD 2 will fly back from Bethlehem tomorrow. That lends more credence to your theory that Ambrose could play at Red Bulls on Sunday, but not necessarily on Wednesday. Anderson Aseidu is someone that you might need if Nagbe just can't give you anything. But again, from a logistical standpoint, it'd be very tricky to get him out to Vancouver with that travel in mind. I'm also not positive. Are they playing that in Philadelphia or Bethlehem?
It's at Talon Energy.
Okay, so it's in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they're not able to play at Lehigh University anymore because it doesn't meet D2 standards. They don't have lights.
No, they don't. You're right. Yeah, I remember that from the Pennsylvania State High School football playoffs. Lehigh is a great stadium, but you can't use it in December. Okay, Scott Moore, another solid win. Bit of criticism, though. The second half we got sloppy. Was this the guys turning off or fatigue?
Fatigue, I thought. I didn't think it was anything about switching off. I think it was fatigue. Now, I do think it's an opportunity for Frank DeBoer to talk about how to close games out, though, because when you are feeling fatigued and you're not as sharp, they invited a lot of extra pressure at times with playing the possession style that has worked really well, but if you don't have the legs to carry it out, you do have to make a decision there to play a little safer and a little smarter.
Ed Million says attack looked great. Pitti with a laser shot for his first goal here. Defense was bending far more than my nerves like, but Guzan came up big. A bit sloppier in possession at times than the past few games, but in the end, we're still kings of the South.
Miles Robinson was absolutely outstanding tonight, and I was really tempted to put up a big fight for man of the match on Miles Robinson because he was that good. Look, I know generally you have players come through your youth national team system and they earn their way up and all of that drama and noise and all that. Yeah, sure. Miles Robinson is the best center back in Major League Soccer this season. He is the best center back so far this season, and Greg Berhalter needs to be looking at him for the Gold Cup. Not just the U-23s, but for the Gold Cup. He has been that good.
Ben Mitchell wants to know the status of both Romario Williams and Kevin Kratz.
Williams has been playing with Atlanta United too. Kratz has a calf injury. He has not been playing. He has not been training from what we know. But Romario Williams has been in the mix. He's had some just kind of middling performances for Atlanta United too lately. And you want to see a little bit more from him. And with this run of games, he might get an opportunity with the first team in Major League Soccer action because his number just might get called. He's going to have to perform if his number does get called. And that's the same for him, for Andrew Carlton, for a lot of the guys that we mentioned who are with Atlanta United too. They might get the door open for them, and it's about what you do with it.
Sean Vigara says, loved how we snuck Merrim on at the end. Still Kings of the South, got to be better defensively, but that looked like just fatigue, and it was nice to lean on Brad Guzan, kind of summarizing what we've been saying.
Let's go back to something Justin Merrim said when we talked to him. Look, the adjustment period, there doesn't really need to be much of one because he's played in the system, he's played in the style for years under Greg Berhalter. It's a very similar way that Berhalter asks his wingers to perform as Frank DeBoer does. So he can slot straight in and play Wednesday, and I don't think you have any problems.
David Franklin, is there anything going on with Pogba? It seems like he would have seen the pitch at least at some point over the last three matches.
I think it's just really rounding back into form. I mean, Florentin Pogba was not a consistent starter at Saint-Étienne. Then he went to Turkey, and when his contract ended last May, so last year at this time, he hadn't played until he came to Atlanta. And we've seen him with Atlanta United too, and he's had some very good performances. He's got a great left foot. He's got great size. He's been in the 18 with the first team as well. He just hasn't been able to put together a 90-minute performance just yet.
Finally, from Elise, she says, Gressel looked like he was struggling, maybe hurt there at the end. Any word?
I didn't see anything to worry about too much. There was the play where he was down and Coleman kicked it out. I thought it was just a collision. I think Gressel was trying to waste a little bit of clock as well. When he came off the field, I didn't really notice other than he looked tired.
All right. Fingers crossed and all that. If we get any updates, obviously we'll pass it along to you here on 92.9 The Game. So that takes us to another busy week. Wednesday night in Vancouver. A week from tonight at Red Bull Arena. Atlanta United has won 4 in a row, 5 of their last 6. They've had a 9-point week. Can they keep it going against the Whitecaps? We'll take a quick look ahead at that match right after this on the Full Time Report as Atlanta United wins it this afternoon over Orlando City 1-0 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time's gone by, seems to be, you could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home. You took me in and you drove me out, yeah. Lost and found and turned around by the fire in your eyes. You made me cry, you told me lies.
Oh, this Mother's Day. This one requested by Miller Pope, our on-site engineer. Happy Mother's Day to all of you out there who joined us here in person at the Benz or had us going along the way on 92.9 The Game and Sirius XM and the Atlanta United app and radio.com. A happy Mother's Day for Atlanta United fans. 1-0 winners over Orlando City this afternoon to improve their all-time record against the Lions to 5-0-2. But there is no rest for the weary. Literally, in less than 24 hours, Atlanta United goes to the airport, gets on the airplane, and goes to Vancouver tomorrow. I assume they will train here tomorrow or regen here. They'll go to Vancouver tomorrow night. They'll train in Vancouver on Tuesday. This is very similar to what they did when they went from a Sunday night match at D.C. to Monterrey, Mexico. And then, of course, they'll play the Whitecaps on Wednesday. I see you have a note lined up here on Jeff Lorenowitz.
So, yeah, we have to give him another extra shout-out. 400 Major League Soccer appearances. And I'm going to trust, and this is dangerous, but I'm going to trust our friend Payson Schwinn. Payson Eno on Twitter, if you know who he is. Mm-hmm. When Jeff Lorenowitz made his debut, the song Holla Back Girl was number one on the charts. That's how far back we're going.
A very long time ago. Mm-hmm. Very long time ago.
And I'm trusting you, Payson.
It really is remarkable and disturbing that Holla Back Girl ever achieved number one status. But
wow.
That's not a fan of that song. Wow. I love Gwen Stefani.
Okay.
Love Gwen Stefani. Not one of my favorite songs
Fair
that
enough.
She did, Holla Back Girl.
Fair enough.
That was a long time ago.
It was.
And Jeff, by the way, still getting some work in down on the pitch, playing little futsal with his kids, and I think Jeff's had enough. He's now walking over.
Jeff's realizing he might be playing some big minutes on Wednesday in Vancouver.
Well, I think he's going to have to. Okay, so the question is, do they rotate or not? But then we've addressed that. What are you hoping for out of this week? Because this is a tough ask. It's a longest road trip of the year, miles-wise, to Vancouver. Then you come all the way back to Atlanta, and then you go all the way out again to New York City. Realistically, what are you hoping for out of the coming week?
Survival. I mean, just surviving it, to be perfectly honest. We talked about how important the start of this stretch of games in May was, and I didn't think you could count on 9 points out of the first three. Well, you got it. Now, if you get anything out of Vancouver and Red Bulls, you're happy with it. If you get two draws, if you get a draw, whatever you get out of it, you're playing with house money at this point. That's a good spot to be in, and it's a good spot that if you have to rotate, and the decision, I think you're going to have to at some point. I think some players are going to need a break in this run of games. Where you do it is a valid question, because Vancouver is the weaker opponent out of the two. New York plays that pressing style that you'd like to have some extra rest for, but are you going to be able to get it? That's the question here. I don't know how Frank DeBoer handles it. These are the things we're still learning as we see what Frank DeBoer does with his team. But you want to go into these two games basically free. And if you get results, you're happy.
Vancouver is the weaker of the two, but they're coming off a win over Portland on Friday, a confidence-building win against the defending Western Conference champion. So don't take anything for granted against the Whitecaps. At the very least, you know you're going to have to deal with Felipe for 90 minutes, and that's never fun. So we will be on the air 9:30 Wednesday night for Five Stripes After Dark, Atlanta United at Vancouver Whitecaps. Jason and I will be at BC Place. 10 o'clock the kickoff. We will not have a full-time report after that match because we have to get to the charter. We will have some post-game remarks. Don't forget, though, we'll have soccer down here through the week. Stoppage time will be on Thursday at 3 o'clock on the 92.9 The Game Facebook page. So even though we can't do a full-time report on Wednesday, plenty of soccer content to come during the week. It's Atlanta United defeating Orlando City again this afternoon, the final 1-0. For on-site engineer Miller Pope and for our producer Dylan Matthews and Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. We'll see you Wednesday night from Vancouver here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to MLS action of our Atlanta United. Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long.
Atlanta United are brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax, proud partner of your Atlanta United. And your local Ford dealer.
The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our Atlanta United play here.
And now Brett Shea, the left attacking third, with a cross towards Joseph. Knocked down and scores!
Our Atlanta United play here.
Players captured the cities. Heart, he feels a real love for the city.
Turns on it and shoots. A hat trick for Joseph Martinez.
Our Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.